Hope you have your Bibles to turn to Psalm 23. Let us pray together. O Father in heaven, we do acknowledge you and praise you as the great God of highest heaven. And I pray that you would work in our hearts to subdue our sin and to form us into the image of Jesus Christ. I pray, O Lord, that we would, in this battle, in this war of the Christian life, that we would have your sustaining grace to fight off sin and the temptations of the devil, the allurements of this world, and that we would press on to know and love Jesus Christ. Lord, it is our privilege to look at your word this evening, and I pray that you would renew us by your word. I pray that you would show us where we have a lack of faith, a lack of trust in you and your good promises to us. I pray that you would show us where we have failed to obey you, perhaps where we are sinning against you, and I pray that you would grant us repentance. I pray that our eyes to be opened to see our good shepherd, Jesus Christ, and his unfailing provision for us as Christians. I pray that you would encourage us and strengthen us by your Holy Spirit. And we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Dear friends, that is the most famous psalm ever. And it is our privilege this evening to look at this most loved psalm in the book of Psalms. I guess it would be natural for me to talk about ancient shepherding practices. And I love, whenever I read Psalm 23, my mind immediately goes to John chapter 10, Jesus as our good shepherd. But we're not going to go to those two places this evening. We're going to camp out right here in Psalm 23. Next week, Ward will be continuing on in his I Am series in I Am the Good Shepherd. And I thought it would be very fitting to have him follow up Psalm 23 with Jesus' words in John 10, I Am the Good Shepherd. So we'll let him take care of John 10 and ancient shepherding practices as well. You know, I could start out this sermon with a heartwarming story about a shepherd rescuing a lost lamb. I can't pull that off, though, so I'll let that to another pastor or preacher. As I think of Psalm 23, I think about all the believers throughout history who have been encouraged by Psalm 23. It could be up to 3,000 years. Think about the Christians for the last 2,000 years who have been encouraged by this psalm, especially when they're walking through the valley of the shadow of death. When we think, here us here today, when we think about the enduring comfort of Psalm 23, it's the words of the King James Version that come to mind, no matter what translation of the Bible we routinely use, because it's just ingrained into our Christianity and our culture, Psalm 23 and these beautiful words I just read. As I was studying this week, I asked this question: where did these English words come from that we read in the King James Version? And I went down a long rabbit trail. And since I spent so much time on it, I would like to share it with you. The first printed New Testament was published in 1526 by William Tyndale. And I love William Tyndale because he stood for the truth. He was burned alive. He was burned at the stake, I should say, for his belief in Scripture and translating it from Greek to English. It wasn't until 1535 that the whole Bible was printed in English. That Bible was called the Coverdale Bible. Imagine, as an adult, reading Psalm 23 or hearing it in English for the first time. We can't imagine that. We've always had the Bible our whole lives. But imagine an adult, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old, hearing Psalm 23 in English for the first time instead of Latin, which they couldn't understand. Wouldn't that be an amazing privilege to think about that? This is what you would have heard. Here's the Coverdale Bible, Psalm 23. And can you really make that out? The spelling and orthography have changed a lot since 1535. But there's the picture of it. But let me read it for you, and you'll see some familiar terminology. The Lord is my shepherd, I want nothing. He feedeth me in a green pasture and leadeth me to a fresh water. He quickeneth my soul and bringeth me forth in the way of righteousness for his name's sake. Though I should walk now in the valley of the shadow of death, yet I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy staff and thy sheep hook comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me against mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil and fillest my cup full. O let thy loving kindness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1540, the Great Bible came out and changed a few things, but you'll see wording that's even more similar to the King James Version. The Lord is my shepherd, therefore can I lack nothing. He shall feed me in a green pasture and lead me forth beside the waters of comfort. He shall convert my soul and bringeth me forth in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Thou shalt prepare a table before me against them that trouble me. Thou hast anointed my head with oil, and my cup shall be full. But loving kindness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In 1560 came the Geneva Bible. That would be the Bible of the Pilgrims, William Shakespeare, the Bible that King James himself used before the King James Version came out, the Geneva Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. There we go. We recognize those words. He maketh me to rest in green pasture and leadeth me by the still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I should walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the sight of mine adversaries. Thou dost anoint my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Doubtless, kindness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall remain a long season in the house of the Lord. And the King James translators consulted these and other early English translations when they penned the words of Psalm 23 that we know so well. And these words would comfort many over the next 400 years. And that's pretty awesome to think about this Bible translation, especially Psalm 23 and other familiar passages that have registered comfort and encouragement to God's people over 400 years later. But these words that we love from the King James, they were around for maybe 50, 80 years before that. So there's almost 500 years of these words in English that have been comforting God's people who speak English. And if you have the New American Standard or the English Standard Version, read Psalm 23. It's going to be very similar. You're not going to have the thous and these, but you're going to have very similar terminology, because you can't mess with Psalm 23. You know, it's like, you just don't, you know. So I was just really encouraged by the beautiful language that has been preserved for us for over 400 years. For what that introduction lacked in application to your everyday life, I hope it made up by just mere historical awesomeness. Anyway, that's what I get excited about. I thought that was really cool how we've used these words over and over again. Anyhow, back to Psalm 23 in our text today. Psalm 23 contrasts with Psalm 22 in this way. Psalm 22 is full of deep and unsettled anguish, while Psalm 23 is a settled peace. Psalm 22 begins with, my God, why have you forsaken me? And that gives way to Psalm 23, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. It is a reminder to us that though we would love to always dwell in the green pastures of Psalm 23, but oftentimes we are dragged through the deserts of Psalm 22. Psalm 23 is not all about our good shepherd. I think you know that if you study it and read it yourself. It's not all about our good shepherd. Verses 1 to 4 are about the Lord as our good shepherd, but verses 5 and 6 are about the Lord as our good host. So someone invites you into their house for a meal, a banquet. So that's the imagery of verse 5 and 6 as well, I believe. So what I want to do this evening is I want to explain some of the familiar pictures of Psalm 23 so that we can be grateful for our good shepherd. Now, pictures are beautiful. Imagery is beautiful in the Psalms and in the prophets of the Old Testament. But sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes you need to say, stop, what does that mean? What does it actually mean? So I'm going to always ask that. If I see a picture, what does that picture point to? Sometimes pictures are better than words, but often they need to be explained a bit. So first, the Lord is our shepherd. The first four verses, the Lord is our shepherd. He provides for the sheep, and you see that in the first three verses. He provides for the sheep. Sheep need food, they need water, they need protection. Not that hard to take care of, but if you remove one of those, it's very bad. The good shepherd provides all those needs. And if you think of the sheep in the hills of Israel, the shepherd would have to search out pastures for them to eat at, and water in calm streams or wells for them to drink. This, he leads me beside still waters. You could translate it, he leads me beside waters of rest. So this could imply that the sheep gather around a well or an oasis in the desert to have the shepherd water them so that they can drink and be refreshed. Verse 3 says, he restoreth my soul. What does that mean? Like, I read that and say, I've known that all my life. He restores my soul. What does that mean? It could be worded, he revives my being. It does not mean God zaps me so I feel happy inside. I don't think it means that. One commentator put it this way, he restores my vitality, my strength, my energy of my being. Think of this, brothers and sisters. It is God who physically, spiritually, and emotionally strengthens us for life. Now, he does this in many ways, but it is God who does it. Right? God does it. Whether it be through the Word of God, through the Spirit of God, through the church, through a friend, through a doctor, through a good Christian book, or in some other mysterious way, it is God who sustains us in this life. Yes, he uses means. It could be you sustaining someone else's soul in the midst of sorrow. It could be God's word. But it all comes from God. He restores my soul. Because God provides everything we need, verse 2, he is the one who revives us and restores us, who strengthens us for this life. He guides the sheep. That's the second half of 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The sheep would have to be kept on the right path so that they would not be hurt by wild animals or fall off a cliff or something like that. What does it mean for us as humans to be guided in paths of righteousness? It means that God keeps us on the right path. Well, you could say that that's obvious, Pastor. What does that actually mean? I believe it's moral language. I don't think that it's saying that God directs us to what color of car we should buy next. I don't think he's talking about those kind of paths. I think he's talking about paths of his commandments. Righteousness often is moral language, right and wrong. So we're not talking about wisdom issues, we're talking about right and wrong issues, to obey the commands of the Lord. So I believe when God guides us in the path of righteousness, he is keeping us on the path to follow his commands. And for his name's sake means for his glory, for his honor. So you could the second half of verse 3. God keeps us following his word, so we honor him. As Psalm 119, verse 10 says, with my whole heart I seek you. Let me not wander from your commandments. Don't let me wander from them. Keep me on the right path. The shepherd also protects the sheep, and that's verse 4. However you understand the valley of the shadow of death, it's bad news. There's danger all over the place. You could translate this also the deep, dark valley. However you understand what that means, it's very dangerous. The shepherd with his rod fends off animals. With his staff, he guides the sheep on the right path. It is God who protects us from all forms of evil. As 2 Thessalonians says, pray that we would be delivered from wicked and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful. He will establish you and guard you against the evil one. Evil may be hidden in the dark valleys, but the shepherd protects us. And I think that we are quite unaware of all the evil that God protects us from on a daily basis. That's why in the Lord's Prayer, we are to pray that ask God to keep us from temptation and from the evil one. Because there's a lot of evil we cannot see, spiritual and physical. And we can give testimony to the fact that God has delivered us from evil in the past, but the evil lying in the darkness that we cannot see, God protects us from that as well. So that is our good shepherd. He protects, he provides, he guides us. And then verses 5 and 6, the Lord is our host. The Lord is our host. And verse 5 speaks of God's abundant provision in the midst of danger. So the host would welcome you into his home. He would anoint you with oil, which would be a refreshing to you, kind of encourage you. We don't do that today. Come in, let me pour olive oil on your head. We don't do that. But in the ancient world, a little oil to refresh the head. So the symbol of welcome and refreshment. The host would provide abundant food for you at his table. In this overflowing cup, we know it's a symbol of bounty. So this, he welcomes you into to have a great meal with him, and there's no lack of food or good drink. Verse 5 corresponds with verse 2. Overflowing cup, green pastures, still waters. So just talking about bountiful provision. Now, it says, I think one of the strangest parts of Psalm 23 is that this table is prepared for us in the presence of our enemies. What does that mean? I think it perhaps could be alluding to a situation in the life of David. In the life of David. In 2 Samuel 17, David is fleeing from his son Absalom, who usurped the throne. He said, I'm going to be king, and David flees away with his people. David flees across the Jordan, and the army supporting his son is closing in on him. Some of David's friends bring provisions for David and his weary people, including, but not limited to, the following: beds, basins, and earthen vessels, wheat, barley, parched grain, beans and lentils, honey, and curds, and sheep, and cheese from the herd, for David and all the people with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Think about this. You are fleeing for your life. You are hungry. You are thirsty. What would you be happy with? Bread and water would be just fine, thank you. I'm surrounded by my enemies. These people bring the entire house and the entire feast with them. I mean, that might not seem much to us. They brought beds. Beds. And basins? With the wash clothes? What's happening here? It's like you go to your grandma's house and she's, can I give you a snack before you leave? You know, 2 hours later and 7 courses later, like, oh, I'm full and I have to go. But David's friends, they just bring the whole house with them. For, you know, they're weary and famished. We should bring everything. So maybe he prepares a table for me in the presence of my enemies is thinking back to that situation in David's life. But God always provides bountifully for us, even in the midst of danger. And then verse 6, the host provides forever. The host provides forever. God's provision is such that his goodness and mercy will follow us all our days. And I love this word for follow. I wish it was a different word, because this word is normally used of being pursued by your enemies. Chased down. That's in military context throughout the Old Testament. And being pursued by your enemies is a really bad thing. But instead of being chased by your enemies, God has goodness and mercy hunt us down. So I like that translation. Goodness and mercy will chase you down all the days of your life. You can't escape them because God has sent them after you. The last line could be translated, and I will return to the house of the Lord for the length of days. That's how the Geneva Bible translated it in 1560. It could mean that the psalmist will regularly worship God at the temple until he dies, or he could have in mind his eternal life with the Lord forever. It could go both ways. But what is underlying verse 6 is that the psalmist desires to be with God, to dwell with him, to worship him. If you were with us last week in Psalm 22, we talked about how being forsaken by God is the worst form of suffering, because the highest joy of the believer is being near God and being in his presence. And so I believe that's what verse 6 is getting at. Whether it be in this life or the next, we desire to be in the presence of the Lord. And that's what it means to go to God's house, to worship him and to enjoy his presence. And this is a joy that the psalmist looks forward to. So a few points of application then from Psalm 23. I don't believe we as Christians doubt that God provides for us. That would be kind of the overriding theme of Psalm 23. I don't think we struggle with doubting that God provides for us. However, at times we doubt that the shepherd always provides for us and that the shepherd abundantly provides for us. You agree with that? At least that's been the experience of my life. We would acknowledge, yes, God provides. God provides for his children. We see that throughout Scripture. But however, the fight of the faith is this: trusting that God is 100% for us 100% of the time. That God is always for us all the time. So the shepherd always provides. The shepherd always provides. If we were honest, we would read Psalm 23, verse 1 like this. The Lord is my shepherd. I have only a few wants. Yes, God has provided for me, but I am still lacking a few more things. If I had those things, I could be at peace. Dear friends, that is a big fat lie from Satan. Don't believe it. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. No wants. You could translate this: the Lord is my shepherd, I have no lack. John Newton, a pastor and author of Amazing Grace, puts it this way: everything is necessary that God sends our way. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds. Let me repeat that. Everything is necessary that God sends our way. Nothing can be necessary that he withholds. So if you don't have it, it's not necessary. And if you have it, it is 100% necessary. Folks, we are dumb sheep. Gotta acknowledge it, we are dumb sheep. We do not know fully what we need. That's why we have a shepherd. God does, he knows. Everything in your life is a gift from God for your good. It is a gift from the gentle shepherd. Everything he has not given you is the same. He has withheld things from you for your good because he is the good shepherd. You don't lack anything because he is good. If we think that God is withholding good from us, it is not a problem with God. It is a problem with our faith. And we cry with these words in the Gospels, I believe, Lord, help my unbelief. So the shepherd always provides. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Number two, the shepherd provides abundantly. Abundantly. Again, we will say, yes, God provides for me. I believe that. But sometimes we think that it is meager provision. We think that the shepherd gives us a hand full of feed and some dry grass and a sip of water. And he occasionally checks in on us to make sure that we were not mauled by a coyote overnight. That is not the picture of Psalm 23. The shepherd is always with us. We will fear no evil. The psalm tells us that our cup runs over with God's provision. It is more than enough. Think on these words from Romans 8. He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God's not going to withhold anything good from you, and he has a bounty of goodness to give us. Brothers and sisters, we are not poor, but we are rich beyond our wildest imaginations. Think of Jesus. Jesus was not rich either. He didn't have a home, probably just owned the clothes on his back, but he never lacked anything because he trusted his Father. We taste now the riches that we have in Jesus, but we will feast on those riches when we dwell with the Lord forever. John Newton, again, helps us see the folly of thinking we are destitute on this earth. He says, suppose a man was going to New York to take possession of a large estate. So by that, think about a really large inheritance. And his carriage should break down a mile before he got to the city, which obliged him to walk the rest of the way. What a fool we should think him if we saw him wringing his hands and blubbering out the remaining mile. My carriage is broken! My carriage is broken! We live a very short life, 70, 80, 90 years. This is a short time to wait for our great inheritance. We taste it now, but we will experience fully when we dwell with the Lord forever. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Claim that promise, brothers and sisters. In conclusion, then, Psalm 23 is yours. All these beautiful words belong to you if you belong to Jesus. If you listen to the voice of Jesus and follow him, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But if Jesus is not your shepherd, if you do not listen to him and follow his voice, he is not your shepherd. And these beautiful words are not yours. Have any of you ever imagined if the Lord was not your shepherd? Especially if you've grown up and been a Christian for a long time. Imagine if the Lord was not your shepherd. So I rewrote Psalm 23, leaving out the shepherd. And it was pretty bleak. I have no shepherd. I am lost. I wander through desert places. I search for refreshing water. My soul is wrenched apart. I know not what path I should take. When I walk through the darkest vale, fear overtakes me, for I am alone. I stumble and fall with no one to comfort. The door to the feast is shut as I flee from my enemies. There is no welcome from the host or abundance in his house. Surely evil and terror will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the place of the dead forever. Dear friends, that is a bleak place to be. But if the Lord is your shepherd, you shall not want. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for these precious words of Psalm 23, words that have encouraged us over the years, words that have encouraged your people over the centuries. And we thank you that if we have Jesus, you are our good shepherd. Oh Lord, help us to believe that you always provide and you always provide abundantly for us. Show us where our faith is lacking and give us faith to believe. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.